Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you would, turn to the book of Philippians. I'm just going to read one verse for the start. It's actually Philippians 4 and verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That's all I'm going to read right now. Now, this letter to the Philippians is not very big. But I'm just going to give you an overview today. That's all I'm going to do. There are only four chapters, and that's all. But in the book of Philippians, in these four chapters, you will find this word, rejoice, 12 times. In four chapters. Now, 10 times the word actually is rejoice. One time it's rejoiced, past tense, and another time it is rejoicing. Also, six other times in Philippians, don't ask me. See, maybe this nerve thing's working on my brain already. Six other times in Philippians, the same Greek word is used as a verb and a noun, but it's translated the word joy. It's the same word. It's all based on the same root word. 18 times the word rejoice and joy is used in the book of Philippians. So, with that as a basis, John Gill said he is called the epistle to the Philippians, an epistle of rejoicing. And I agree. It's true. Somebody else wrote, and I'm not sure who. Somebody else wrote, now this is a quote, "The book of Philippians conveys a powerful message about the secret of contentment." And I thought, well, it does talk about contentment. But it's not a secret. There's contentment in Christ. There's contentment in Christ. There's contentment in God. If you know Him. It's not a secret. Paul does say, godliness, what is it? Let me see. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But it's not a secret. Everybody's looking for contentment in the wrong places. That's the problem. That's the problem. The world cannot and will not look to Christ for contentment. They will not look to God at all because they don't know Him. But let's be clear. This is a letter to believers. Paul wrote it in verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And here it is, the first mention of the word. Verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. That's the same word as the word rejoice. The first thing that Paul says he rejoices in chapter 1 is the people of Philippi. He makes requests with joy. He thanked God for them whenever he remembered them. And when he remembered them, he prayed for them with joy, with rejoicing. Why did Paul thank God and pray with joy for these people? Well, he says it. He tells us. For your fellowship in the gospel. In the gospel from the first day until now. He was thankful and joyful about their fellowship together in Jesus Christ. In his gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He and Timothy preached there. And by God's grace, they received the word. They received it. They received it. Excuse me. These Philippians, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he, being God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And folks, that is something to be thankful for. That is something to be joyful about. That God is saving his people out there. Out there. Oh my. Paul says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Inasmuch as both my bonds and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. You're fellow partakers of the same grace that God has given me. And that's the thing. There's only one grace in Jesus Christ. There's only one gospel. There's only one Lord, one Savior, one faith, one baptism. There's only one. Oh my. That's where Paul starts off with his joy in here. The second thing Paul rejoiced in is this, verse 18. And this is very strange, but I do want to talk about it. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Christ is preached. Paul rejoiced in that. I said it a couple of weeks ago, I think. The strange thing that, it, to at least to our ears, okay? John the Baptist had sent his disciples to Christ and say, are you the one? And Jesus Christ looked at him and said, you go back and tell John this, you know? The sick are healed. Lepers are cleansed. Blind are made to see. The dead are raised up. And he gets through this list, and at the very last thing he tells them to tell John about, the gospel is preached to the poor. Yeah. Now, most people will admit and think that healing the sick is a miracle. Cleansing a leper would be a miracle. Raising the dead. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, right there with that category, put preaching the gospel to the poor.
Amen. That's right.
It's a miracle that the gospel is preached.
Yes.
It is. It is. We seem to sometimes take it for granted, and we shouldn't. I'm guilty of the same thing. But here it is. Now, this is more interesting in the fact that if you start back in verse 12, but I would that ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Paul's talking about, he's in prison right now. This is a prison letter. He's in Rome. He is captive. But the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ, my being in jail for my message, for my Lord, are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord are waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And he says this, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel.
Amen.
There were those out there who were preaching. Now, be very clear. They were preaching Christ. That's wherein Paul was rejoicing. They actually preached Christ. But they preached it in contention, saying, well, maybe Paul did something wrong that he got stuck in jail. He's in jail because he deserves it or whatever. I don't know what it was about. But it says they preach of envy and they preach of strife and the other of goodwill. Doesn't matter to Paul. Christ is preached. And therein I rejoice. If Christ is preached, the true Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sovereign, substitutionary Savior of his people is preached, Paul says, I rejoice. I rejoice. Whether it's of envy, whether it's of strife, or whether it's of goodwill, I like it. I want the gospel preached. It's good that the gospel be preached. Whether people listen, whether people hear it, whether people receive it, that's another question. Paul's saying, I'm glad it's preached. He didn't say, I'm glad it was received. He did tell the Philippians that because he knew they had. They had fellowship in the gospel. They had fellowship in Christ. But here, I'm just happy that the gospel is preached. I'm joyful. I'm rejoicing. Verse 26 says this. Well, here, verse 25, I have to say this. For this, having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. It's another word. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus, in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing, nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Whether I come to you again or I don't, I want to rejoice in the fact that you are following the gospel of Christ. Following Christ. And don't be terrified of your enemies. We have enemies, folks. Sometimes they don't know they're our enemies. Sometimes they do.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been in some strange situations. I was in a Baptist church. Walter was there. Pam, I think you were there. Linda. I'll talk about Walter now. He's not here. Well, I had been talking to Walter about the gospel as best I could, as ignorant as I was. We're going back 1983. Okay? I'd been talking to him. I'd had a book of sermons by Charles Spurgeon. And I would go to a copier that I had at work and copy with a copier and staple them together, and I'd give them to Walter. And there were certain ones. And one Sunday, he looked at me, because we weren't friends outside of chapel of the church down there or nothing else. We just met there, and we talked before, and we talked after. And I would give him this stuff. And sometimes I gave him, then I started giving him tapes by Henry Mayhem. One Sunday morning, he looked at me, he said, don't bring me that stuff anymore. Don't bring me any of that stuff anymore. And I'm going to tell you something, my heart sunk. Because I finally found somebody besides Debbie that I could talk to about Jesus Christ as he is, not how you perceive him to be. I mean, I tried to talk to other people, but they just went, okay, bye, you know, or, well, isn't that swell? And then they walk away. You know, nothing was received, nothing was given back. But Walter would at least talk back with me. But when he told me that, I said, oh, man, you know, okay. You know, and I was going to stop giving him stuff because he asked me to. You know, I'm not going to force, I can't force God on you anyway.
No.
Nobody can force God on you. Nobody forced God on me. Except him. But I know for a fact that God will back you into a corner to where you realize you can't turn left, you can't turn right, you can't go forward, you can't go anywhere without Him. There's no hope outside of Him. And so I said, okay, you know, if that's, you know, I'll go on and maybe find somebody else to talk to. Been there before, but didn't have anybody to talk to. The next Sunday, though, he come back and he said, Joe, those things are right. That's what the Bible says. I think that's how he put it. I can't tell you, quote it for you. It's too old and I'm too old to remember for sure. But I do know this. My heart went, yes, even though I didn't say it. And I probably did smile, but it just uplifted me so much. Just the fact that somebody was starting to receive the gospel, you know. And see, I didn't think Walter was lost. I didn't think any of those people were lost. I didn't know any better, Mason. I thought preachers said stupid things all the time, just, well, whenever it got to them. Because I say stupid things. I didn't know there was a man, although I did know a little bit about Henry Mahan from watching him on TV. He did the best of anybody I knew. And to tell the truth and not lie. And not say anything stupid. So I thought these people knew God. It turned out, I don't think they do. But Walter received the messages, the gospel. And you know what? That made me so happy. I couldn't hardly stand it. I rejoice. Now, I should have been rejoicing when he said, go away. And maybe I was inside, but I didn't feel like it. But here's the thing. It's not supposed to be based on your feelings. Because here's what he says. What? Rejoice that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Not in your feelings, not in your emotions, not in your circumstances. We are always to rejoice in the Lord, to rejoice in Christ Jesus. Let's see. Chapter 2 and verse 16 says, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. That I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. I like that. Preaching Christ, the word of life, I've preached Christ, that is not labor in vain. Even if no one hears, even if no one listens, even if Walter had never received it, it wasn't in vain my talking to him. It wasn't in vain my giving him a sermon or giving him a tape by Henry Mahan. That is never in vain, even if no one receives it. Because here's the thing, Christ is preached. That's not vain labor. No, no. It's labor, but it's not vain labor. And Paul says, I rejoice with you all. And you rejoice with me. I like that. I do. The gospel is preached to you, and you believe Jesus Christ. And I rejoice in that, and you can rejoice in that too. You can rejoice with me, and I can rejoice with you in Jesus Christ. We'll move on. I said this is just an overview. Chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. I really like those three verses. I'm going to tell you, it runs the gamut. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Reminder, here's the reminder. Finally, when everything's all said and done, whether it falls out for good or for ill from your point of view or from my point of view, rejoice in the Lord. Whether the gospel's received or rejected, rejoice in the Lord. It's sometimes hard to do in the face of rejection, but this is the thing. Your rejoicing is in Christ Jesus. Your rejoicing is in the Lord. Your rejoicing is not in your work. It's not in somebody's reception of the gospel. The rejoicing is in Christ Jesus. Paul is writing to his brothers and sisters in Christ, reminding them of their relationship. Finally, my brethren, the fellowship of believers is in our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Our fellowship is in Christ, or it's not in fellowship at all. But then he writes, we are the circumcision, not the physical circumcision, the circumcision of the heart and the ears. True circumcision. And we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We worship God. What? Worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, true brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice in Christ Jesus. I like that, I do. And we have no confidence in the flesh. But right in the middle of these two statements where he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord, for me to write these things, it's not grievous, it's safe. And then, for we are the circumcision who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Right in between there, in between those two great verses, he says this. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision. You want to know why he wrote that there? Because they're always there in the middle. We're surrounded by them. We're surrounded by them. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. I'm not going to go too deep into this, but Paul put this right in the middle of these two rejoicing statements. And he put them there for a purpose. But here's the thing. Beware of dogs. What do? Dogs turn back to their own vomit. Yeah. I know it's a wonderful, colorful thing to say on a Sunday morning before lunch. Dogs turn back to their vomit. That's what dogs do. Now, that says that in Proverbs 26:11, and Peter quotes it in 2 Peter 2 and 22. Dogs, what did he say? Where Peter's talking about, dogs have been around the truth. They've been around it. But he said it'd been better if they'd never known it than to turn back and go back to where they were. The sow that was washed has turned back to its wallowing in the mire. What did those people do in John chapter 6 when Jesus Christ told them, you know, unless it be given to you of my Father, you ain't never coming to him. You will never come. You cannot come unless it's be given to you. What happened? They turned away and went back. What did they do? They turned back to their old way of life. Yeah. That's what the word means. They went backwards. Instead of going forwards, following Christ, who had just spoken to them, they heard him, they understood what he said, and they turned and they left and went backwards. They went back to the way they were before. And it don't matter whether they're Gentiles or they're Jews. The dog turns around and goes back. When things get difficult or the truth gets too hard, because the truth can get hard. Oh, yeah. The truth can get hard. They leave. They'll leave. They'll turn back. Then he says, beware of evil workers. Well, that's pretty easy. That means they work evil. They're deceitful workers. These are those, and it is trickier, because these are those who may honor God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. They may honor Christ with their lips, but they don't preach the gospel. They may use the name Jesus. They may use the name Christ. They may use the name God. They may use the name Holy Spirit. But they're not talking about the Christ of the Bible, the true God, and the true Holy Spirit. Paul says they are false apostles, deceitful workers. They are false ministers who lie on God. They lie on Christ, and they lie about the Holy Spirit. That's what we're supposed to beware of. And the last thing is the concision. Now, this is a particular thing with this is those who are physically circumcised. Which is why Paul brings in the next statement. But here it says the concision are those that are physically circumcised, which in and of itself, there's nothing wrong with that. But they thought they were better than anyone who was uncircumcised. Yeah. And if there's anything that the gospel will teach you, Christ will teach you, is that you and me are not better than anyone. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all, in and of ourselves, ungodly and unrighteous. And if you think you're better than anyone else, in and of yourself, you're wrong. For whatever reason, much less a physical circumcision. They consider themselves to be better. What did Paul say? For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit. Got nothing to do with the flesh. Circumcision is of the heart. Paul was there when Stephen preached. And Stephen ended up that message. That message that went all the way from the beginning through Noah and Moses and everybody else. And he said, you are just like your father. You're uncircumcised in heart and ears. And you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. We are the circumcision who have been circumcised in heart and ears. Those who believe Christ. Here. But here's the thing. Even around dogs, evil workers, and the concision, we are to worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. Amen. Rejoice. That's the thing.